Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Before we jump into today's episode, we wanted to take just a minute to share something that's important to us. Angels Among Us is an interfaith podcast. While many of our guests come from a Latter-day Saint background and may occasionally reference beliefs, experiences, or teachings that are specific to their faith, our hope is that this never becomes a barrier to anyone listening. Our mission has never been to convince anyone what to believe. Our mission is to help people feel seen, loved, and less alone. No matter your faith tradition, or even if you're still searching for what you believe, we want you to know that you are welcome here. We believe that God loves all of His children, and we believe that each of us is surrounded by help, both seen and unseen.
As you listen, you may hear perspectives or beliefs that differ from your own. If that happens, we hope you'll listen for the heart behind the message. We've been blessed to learn from people of many different faiths, backgrounds, and life experiences, and we've found that there is so much we can learn when we're willing to listen to one another's stories. One of our favorite things about this podcast is discovering that despite our differences, we often have much more in common than we realize. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being willing to learn, grow, and listen alongside of us. Now, please enjoy the show.
And go look for those angels.
But Brad didn't know as deeply as he needed to know. And Brad didn't have a testimony that was as strong as he needed to have. And if God was going to let Brad work with thousands of teenagers all over this planet, then he had to know so that he could help those teenagers keep digging. You asked if I've learned from experience. That was a turning point experience for me. Not because I saw an angel, but because I didn't.
Before we dive in, just a quick favor. If you're enjoying what we're doing at Angels Among Us, please take a second to rate and review the show. And if something in today's episode touches your heart, please share it with a friend. Welcome to Angels Among Us, the podcast where we share real stories of angelic encounters. Each episode, you'll hear firsthand accounts of divine protection, guidance, and miraculous interventions that remind us we're never truly alone. Whether through a whisper of comfort, an unseen hand of protection, or an unmistakable presence, angels are closer than we think. Join us as we explore these powerful experiences of angels, both seen and unseen. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Angels Among Us. Brent and Michaela here, as always, as your hosts. And for those of you that are watching, you can see, if you know, if you recognize Brother Brad Wilcox, then you'll know how excited we are right now. Maybe if you don't recognize him, that's totally fine. Brad is, I'm going to call you Brad. Sorry.
That's great.
Brad is kind of a celebrity in our church circles.
I'm not a celebrity. I'm just a teacher at BYU, and I've spent a lot of time teaching the youth. And now all the youth are your ages. And the youth I used to work with in the youth programs, they've all grown up and they're taking care of youth themselves. So I have a lot of friends because I've spent a lot of years working with youth.
Well, you have changed a lot of lives, and you have helped so many people find their Savior and really come to know Him, me being one of them.
Well, I love that. Thank you. That's the greatest compliment that any teacher could ever have. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And as you all can hear and see, he's extremely humble also. So yes, Brad, thank you for agreeing to be with us. I know you're very, very busy. So we'll take whatever we can get. We'll turn it over to you. Go ahead and give kind of a little introduction rundown and then just take it away.
Well, I have been looking forward to being with you guys. And if either Michaela or Brent leave in the next few minutes, it's because they're potty training their little one. So just understand, and we're going to be really patient with them if they have to leave for a second. But
Gigi's here with them. Grandma.
That's awesome. But just before we started filming this, Brent, you were saying that your sister was at a youth conference that I was at in Yuma, Arizona, clear back in the 90s. So it's been a long time that I've worked with the youth. It was actually in about 85 that I first started working with a program sponsored by Brigham Young University called Especially for Youth. And then lately, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has adopted that program as part of their worldwide program. And now it's called For the Strength of Youth, FSY. And it has been such a joy to be a part of that and to be able to see young people all over the world having the opportunity to have a week-long experience where they are working with young adult counselors that are great role models for them, and they're getting to know new friends. And most importantly, they're drawing closer to Jesus Christ. They're drawing closer to God. They're feeling a connection with Him. They step away from the world for just long enough that they can have that really sacred experience. And it changes them. It changes them forever. We just have been doing the first FSY in Guam. We've just had the first FSY in Ethiopia, Africa. We just had the first FSY in Pakistan. I mean, it is just remarkable to see young people all over the world now being able to have that kind of an experience. And I have been very grateful to have been a part of that for so many years. But yeah, if you ask what I do, that's been a real core of my mission in life. And I think it's interesting because you said that you were told very clearly as you prayed about it to call your podcast Angels Among Us. And I think that that chance to work with the youth for so many years has given me a chance to see angels among them. And it has given me a chance to see hearts changed. And it's given me a chance to see them become angels in the lives of other young people who look to them as examples and lights. And so, yeah, when you told me the name of your podcast, you had me. Because whenever I can talk about God's hand in our lives, I'm happy to do it, because I know from my own personal experience and from watching the experience of thousands and thousands of teenagers all over the world, I know how involved God is in our lives.
I want to ask you a quick question. Michaela and I teach the 16, 17-year-olds.
On Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
And I mean, my sister was on earlier with you, and she loves the youth. We love the youth. And especially not being able to have our own kids. I mean, we've been married long enough to where those kids that we teach, we could easily have kids that age. And for me as a teacher, watching them be able to grow and have light bulb moments, or have, I can tell when the Spirit is present and when they are touched by the Spirit. And for me, that's all worth it. That's like my favorite thing. So I'm wondering, for you, what is that like when you are able to see, because you teach at BYU, so you have these kids for months at a time, right? What is it like for you to see the growth in them?
Yeah, it's remarkable. But, you know, as you say, a lot of people will use that phrase, I saw the light go on. But I think when we're talking about these spiritual things, it's more like, I see the light go in. I see the spirit touch them. And when the spirit bypasses physical senses and touches our spirit inside, then we have a spirit-to-spirit communication. And Joseph Fielding Smith said that's more powerful than sight. And so it really is an incredible experience. Now, is it an angel or is it the spirit? I think that's a good question to start with today, because we believe in the ministering of angels, but we also believe in the Holy Ghost and in the influence that the Holy Ghost can have in our lives. And I think one of my favorite quotes came from a man named John Widsoe, an early apostle in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And he said, we believe in angels. We believe in the interaction that we can have with angels. But he said, we don't believe in guardian angels, angels that are with us all the time. Because he said, if we had guardian angels, then we would not need the constant presence of the Holy Ghost. And it's the presence of the Holy Ghost that is a comfort, a guide, a witness of truth, and a sanctifier that can help us become better, the messenger of God's grace. And so those are important things that, and those roles are played by the Holy Ghost. And so we believe that angels do have the chance to minister to us, but those are on special occasions. Those aren't all the time. I have a dear friend whose husband just died at a very young age of a heart attack, and she's trying to make the transition into being a widow at a very young age. And she said that at first she used to just pray that her husband would be with her and she would feel comforted. Then she would feel guided. Then she would feel strengthened. And she kept saying, my husband's here, my husband's here. And finally I said to her, you know what? I'm sure your husband does have opportunities to be close to you, but that constant feeling that you're having, that constant spiritual uplift that you're feeling, that's coming from the Holy Ghost. And it helped her a lot to understand. And it helped her because then later she told me, that helped me distinguish the way God reaches me all the time and those special sacred occasions when it is my husband who is coming to give a message of hope or to give a message of love or to give a message of warning. She says, I have been able to recognize that those experiences are a little different from the daily experiences that I have with God just giving me the help that I need to make it through the day. And so I think that helps all of us, because if we understand that we have that constant companionship of the Holy Ghost, or the influence of the Holy Ghost, then it helps us to be able to recognize that when we do have those special moments, when we feel that a loved one is near, then we can distinguish that from the way that God has provided for us to be able to feel His guidance, feel His direction, feel His protections on a daily basis.
That is also beautifully said, because I think a lot of times we, and especially having so many people on the show, talk about things of the Spirit, to be able to hear it put in that way, that it's not always our loved ones. And
I mean, there's myriad ways that God has a whole umbrella covering the ways that he has to reach out to us, to help us, to guide us and bless us. But we have to kind of distinguish between some of those ways. Most of all, just so that we can recognize his love, his blessings, even when they don't come in the way that we're expecting. I mean, I have a son who was always losing the keys when he was learning to drive. And my wife finally got smart, got an extra set of keys. So he came in one day and said, "Dad, I've lost the keys." And I said, "Well, don't worry, Mom's got another set." And he said, "No, those are the ones I just lost." And so I said, "Get over here. We're going to pray." And we prayed, and he was led to find the keys in a place he'd already looked, and we recognized an answer to prayer. Well, that same son grew up and became a nurse anesthetist, which is a little terrifying if you think about it. I mean, where's that body? I know there was a body around here somewhere. Don't worry, Mom's got another. He grew up, and when he was in his training, he was stationed at a hospital that was, quite a ways from his house, so he would need to be gone for days at a time. Now, his wife had two little toddlers and a brand new baby, and she was freaking out, thinking, how am I going to deal with this while he's gone for days? And the minute that he started his rotation, then the baby started sleeping through the night. And the minute that he started the rotation, the baby started holding down food better. Now, we could call that an answer to prayer, but it's really not, because we weren't smart enough to pray for it. I mean, who prays for that? Please knock out the baby. I mean, you know, I don't even think that's legal to pray like that. But God saw a need, and he met that need. He gave us what we would call a tender mercy. And so, why would I say then that grace, this enabling power that God also offers us, would be different from an answer to prayer or a tender mercy? Well, it's because grace is when we feel empowered to make positive changes. I have another friend who was interested in churches at a very young age. And his stepfather was upset with him and said, "Look, you're a teenager. You're supposed to like carousing around with girls and taking drugs and drinking and smoking pot. Why aren't you doing the normal things teenagers do?" Well, finally, when he wanted to join the church, his stepfather kicked him out of the house. Well, a family from the church brought him in and they were helping him out. And he ended up being called on a mission to Japan, and he was in the missionary training center, and he had only been a member of the church for about a year. And he said, "Well, some general authority, some big leader came, and he told us we're supposed to love our parents." He said, "That's a hard one for me. How do I love a man that I don't even like very much? And how do I love a man that I don't respect at all?" He said, "I guess for me right now, love is going to have to mean that I feel sorry for him and that I won't give up hope that he can change." Now, that's grace. Not only the hope he held out for his father, who was his stepfather, but do you see the change of heart? I can't change. Yeah, you can. I can't love. Yeah, you can. I can't forgive. Yeah, you can. Now, why am I breaking these things up? Because then we can see grace in our lives, even when we don't see tender mercies, and even when we don't see answers to prayer. Why am I breaking out a difference between the Holy Ghost and a ministering from an angel? Because then we can see God's hand in our life one way or the other, even when it doesn't look like what we expect it to look like. We can still see it. And I think that's why it's important to clarify some of these terms we use that describe how God interacts with his children.
Something that I feel like gets confused a lot is we have people who have gone through these terrible things, right? You know, whether it's losing a child or addiction or whatever the case may be.
Or infertility.
Or infertility, right? And in these stories, you have some people who have had these astonishing, you know, reactions with or relationship with Heavenly Father and answers and communication. And then there are people that don't have any, but they are trying. Do you have any advice for people who feel like alone in that sense of like, why are they getting an answer, but we aren't?
That's exactly what we're talking about. You have to be able to recognize God's hand, even when it's not a storybook ending. You've got to be able to, as you guys have, look back and say, we thought that nothing was happening. We thought God had turned his back on us. We thought we weren't getting answers to prayer. We thought we weren't getting the help we were asking for. And now, as you're potty training your little one and reading books to your little older one, you're able to look back and say, God knew what was best for us. God knew who was best for us. God knew who we would be able to help. And so now looking back, you can see that he was not micromanaging. We're not puppets. He doesn't sit up there and just direct our everything in our lives. That would be a predestination that we just don't agree with. We are agents. We have agency. But you can see God's hand. And yet, if I had talked to you back when you were trying so desperately to have children, you would have said, no, God hasn't answered our prayer. God isn't listening to us. But now you're able to see with a little broader perspective, he was there all along. The Holy Ghost was there all along. And this visitation you wanted, this pillar of light with an angel just appearing in your bedroom, it never happened. But now you look back and you say, exactly what needed to happen did happen. And so for those that are just in that the middle of that messy middle where they're just saying, I have a righteous desire. I'm not asking for this because I'm being selfish. This is a righteous desire. And yet nothing is happening. Hang on. Hang in and trust. Trust that God sees a bigger picture and he knows not just what is best for us, but when it is best for us. And we have to be able to trust that. You know, there's a beautiful story in Matthew, right after the Savior teaches the Sermon on the Mount, which is in 5. Then he's coming down from the mountain, and six is still part of the sermon. Then he is coming down off the mountain, and this is in chapter 8, and a leper comes up to him and asks for his help. It says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. This is the happy ending that we all want. But sometimes it doesn't come this way. But we have to remember the attitude with which this leper approached the Savior. Think of three words in verse 2. Worshipped him. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He didn't come testing the Lord. He didn't come saying, all right, I need this, and so if you do it, then I'll believe that you are the Lord. But if you don't do it, then you can just give it up, because I am not going to believe anymore. He didn't come in that attitude. He came worshiping. He came with great faith. And then he said, if thou wilt. He's coming in meekness. I can't do this, but I know thou canst do this. And if thou wilt. Oh, what an attitude. He's not saying, if you don't do this for me, then you have lost a believer, because I am not going to believe in you anymore. He is coming with faith that is not dependent on an outcome. He is coming with faith that says, it is thy will. I am only seeking thy will. And if this is not thy will, then I'm going to be okay with that. How can you be okay with it if it's not his will? Look at that last word, me, me. Thou canst make me clean. This is a personal interaction. The Lord knows this man. He knows his situation. He knows. And so this man is saying, look, if this is not thy will, then I trust thee. See, sometimes we think that the reason we say prayers is to get what we want. But God is not Santa, and God is not a butler, and God is not there to just grant every wish. He's not a genie. So why do we pray if it's not to get what we want? It's to have a relationship with him. To have a relationship with him that is so strong that we will trust him even when we don't get what we want when we want it. We will trust him. And that's what this leper does. He says, I know you know what's best for me. And even though I cannot see how having leprosy is helping me or anybody I love, you see an eternal picture. And I trust you because I know you know me. So I firmly believe that if this leper had come worshiping and saying, I will do thy will, I seek thy will, and I know you know me, so I can trust you. I think even if it had a different verse 3 and said, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, not yet. You will be clean one day, but not yet. I still think that the leper would have believed. And I still think he would have been better off than he was because of his interaction and his relationship with the Lord. I think that's what we're after. I mean, the goal isn't just to see an angel or see Christ. I mean, that's what everybody wants. But if you think about it, we're going to see Christ one day, but will he see his image in our countenances? That's the ultimate goal. Not to see him, not to see an angel, but to be able to have him see himself in us, to be able to have an angel see his qualities or her qualities in us. That's the transformation that the atonement of Jesus Christ makes possible. But time is the medium through which the power of Christ's atonement is made manifest in our lives. So hang in. Be patient. Hang on. Don't give up. Just keep staying close. And then, whatever form God's help takes, whatever form His blessing takes, we can be okay because we're with Him. I have a dear friend who died of cancer. And when she was struggling right at the end of her life, she said, "Brad, how can this be the best thing for my family? How can it be the best thing for my husband? How can this be the best thing for me to leave them at such vulnerable ages? How can this be the best thing for me?" And I said to her, "Sometimes we have to redefine the word blessing. And we have to realize that a blessing is anything that is drawing us closer to God. Then we can see blessings even in a cancer journey. Then we can see blessings even in an early death. Similarly, what's a curse? God cursed me. God cursed me with infertility. This God cursed me. No. A curse is any choice we make that distances us from our loving Heavenly Father. Any choice we make that destroys the trust that we can have with Him. I love in the scriptures where it says in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him, that the world through Him might be saved." And this is the condemnation. For him that believeth not, he is condemned. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. If we will just welcome that light, then we will start seeing condemnations, cursings, very differently. And we will start seeing blessings where we've never seen blessings before. Just draw close to the light.
These things that you're talking about and teaching about, these are things that you know. This is a knowledge that you have been able to obtain. And I've lived life long enough to know there are some things that we come to know through experience, through building and strengthening relationships, especially when it comes to our Father in Heaven. I know Him better because of our trials, because of our blessings.
Brent, do you see the spiritual maturity that you have gained to be able to make that statement? Because years ago, you would have said, "This is not helping me know God. This is drawing me farther away from God."
Right.
You would be shaking a fist at heaven. But look now, as you're able to say, no, it was actually through that Gethsemane. It was actually through that experience that I came to know him better. That is beautiful maturity, beautiful spiritual maturity.
Anybody that knows me will tell you that I'm probably the most mature person. <you know? laughs> Only kidding. But I wanted to ask, how did you come to know these things? Has there been a time in your life where maybe you were shaking your fist at God, or things didn't turn out exactly how you wanted them to?
Yeah, I think, like you say, experience is a school, and we learn through experience. And it's only because of the atonement of Jesus Christ that our experiences can be educative, and they can help us learn. Without the atonement of Jesus Christ, they would condemn us. Our bad experiences would condemn us. Our sins would condemn us. But because of Christ's atonement, then we can learn, we can be better for having gone through these experiences with him. When I grew up, I grew up in a beautiful Latter-day Saint home. I grew up with wonderful parents and three brothers, and I was surrounded by faith. And I had tasted the fruit of that faith. I definitely could see how my life was so much better and happier than those who had given up faith. And so as a young man, as is expected in the church, I served a mission, and I got called to Chile. And I was in Chile and kind of realized that I was having quite the culture shock. It was hard to learn Spanish. And, you know, all my leaders in the church had said, oh, there are people out there who want to hear the gospel. Well, they sure weren't in the city of Vallenar, Chile. I mean, we'd try to share our message with somebody, and some lady would spray us off with a hose. Somebody else would throw things at us. And so I think I came right up against the hard wall of experiences and these unrealistic expectations that I had that were not met. And so it was hard. I remember one day after that lady sprayed us off with her hose, and we were walking back to the apartment to change clothes, I thought, why am I doing this? Why am I even out here doing this? I mean, why am I paying my own way to be out here taking this kind of grief? And why am I trying to learn Spanish when it's so hard? But I knew the answer. I knew what my mom would have said. I knew what my dad would have said. You're there for God. You're there for Jesus Christ. And so I knew the right answer, but suddenly I thought, well, where's God? I mean, if I'm here for him, where the heck is he? Because it sure doesn't seem like he's around. And that shook me. Having grown up in the home and family I grew up in, that was a thought that had never entered my mind. Where's God? Does he even exist? And it shook me. I think my companion noticed that it shook me, because when we got back to the apartment, he said, what's wrong? And I said, I think I lost my testimony today. And he laughed. He's like, oh, Wilcox, you are so funny. You just totally crack me up. You're always making me laugh. Go wash up so we can eat. And there I am in the bathroom, and I'm washing my hands and I'm washing my face, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is scary. I mean, this is a job for an angel. I have got to see an angel. I mean, Joseph Smith saw one, and he was younger than me. So I have got to see an angel. And so that night, I knelt up on my top bunk. I always chose the top bunk because it was closer to heaven and it was farther from the fleas. And so I knelt there on my top bunk and I prayed with all the faith I could muster. I prayed. I said, God, are you there? And suddenly my room was filled with light. And then the car passed. And then I was mad. You know, Joseph Smith prays, he gets an angel. Brad Wilcox prays and he gets headlights. And I just was so frustrated. And I just thought, man, God, if I ever needed an answer, it's now. And here you are, just silent. I thought, what is going on? And I thought, come on, I've done what I should. I mean, we're out here teaching people that if they read in the scriptures and if they pray and then, you know, if they ponder and if they pray, then you're going to answer them. So I've done those things. So where's my answer? And then all of a sudden, I think I had one of those growing up, maturing moments where I realized, have I really done everything that I'm supposed to do? I mean, my gosh, here I'm expecting $1,000 answer for a 5-cent investment. And I thought, reading the scriptures? Oh, yeah. I mean, I read the scriptures when the bishop said that if we read them, then we'd get to come to the ice cream party. Pray? You know? Yeah, I prayed that all those who are not here this week will come next week. And I blessed the food and the hands that prepared it and all those things we say. And ponder? Oh, usually the only thing I pondered was what TV show I was missing while I was reading the scriptures so that I could go to the ice cream party. I mean, that was one of those times where I kind of felt a slap in the face and realized that I could be doing more. I could be doing more. Now, I'm being pretty honest when I say that up to that moment, my hardest challenge as a missionary was trying to stay awake during study time. But from that moment on, the hardest challenge was trying to find more study time. Well, pretty soon we had a zone conference and the mission president came to town and he interviewed all the missionaries. And he said to me, how are you, elder? I said, fine, president. He said, how's your mission companion? I said, fine. He said, how are the people in your branch? Fine. How's your sector? It's fine. About three more questions and three more fine presidents. And I stood up to leave and he said, Elder Wilcox, do you have any questions? Oh, yeah. Like, what about, is there a God? Let's just start there. But I didn't dare say that to him. I mean, he was my leader. He was my, I didn't want him to know that I was struggling with questions. So I just smiled and I just said, no, president, no questions. I've never even had a cavity. No, everything's just fine. Well, a little while later, I was transferred to another city in La Serena, Chile, and I worked with a new companion, and we worked so hard, and we loved those people, and I studied so hard and worked so hard. But still, as I prayed, I felt like God was being a little distant. I felt like I was a gold miner, you know, I was kind of digging through the mountain, but I wasn't hitting any gold. But I was digging, I was digging. I had faith that maybe that gold was there, but I just hadn't hit it yet. So the president came to town for another zone conference, and he did interviews. And he said, "How are you, Elder?" I said, "Fine, President." He said, "How's your sector? How's your companion? How's the congregation?" I said, "Fine." And then he said, "Elder Wilcox, do you have any questions?" And suddenly, it's like the word president on his name tag didn't matter anymore. Suddenly, I didn't care whether he was my leader or he was my president or I wanted to impress him. I just needed a friend. And he was there. And I said, "Yeah, I've got some questions." I said, "President, is there a God?" And he said, "Yes." Didn't quote any scriptures. He didn't talk to me about any experiences. He didn't quote general conference talks. No, he just said, "Yes." And I said, "President, does he know me? I mean, with all his millions and billions of children, does he know me?" And he said, "Brad Wilcox, he knows you by your first name." And then I said, "President, does he love me? I mean, even with all the stupid stuff I've done, all the mistakes I've made, all the dumb things that I've done, does he love me?" And he said, "Yes." And that's when I felt the Spirit touch my spirit inside and testify that that was true. Well, that night when I prayed, man, my supplication soared. I was praying directly to a Heavenly Father that I finally was beginning to understand in the name of the Savior Jesus Christ, who I was finally beginning to comprehend. My prayer totally reached him. And I thought, well, why didn't he answer? Why didn't he answer months earlier when I knelt on that top bunk and said, "God, are you there?" But then I realized, would I have sought with as much motivation? Would I have studied with as much hunger? Would I have served with as much love and devotion? If he had answered me the minute I called, would I have ever learned to swim? If he was still holding my head above the water, would I ever have learned to walk? If he were still carrying me in his arms? And suddenly, looking back, I thanked him for not sending an angel. I thanked him for sending headlights. I thanked him for not answering me immediately. Because, one, when I found that gold, I valued it. And two, I could see that the efforts that he had walked me through had made me stronger and helped me grow. So when I have a teenager come to me and say, "I don't even know if there's a God." When I have a young adult student come to me and say, "I don't even know if God's there." I just hug them. And I just say, "I once asked that question too. But don't give up. Keep digging in that mine. Keep studying. Keep praying. Keep drawing closer. because this is how God is teaching you. He doesn't teach you if he's holding you. He's teaching you by letting you walk a little on your own and swim a little in the deep end of the pool. But don't doubt for a minute that he's there. I knew he had been there all along. But suddenly I could see his purpose. Yeah, Brad grew up in a nice Latter-day Saint home. Brad grew up with great parents and wonderful brothers who were great examples. And yes, but Brad didn't know as deeply as he needed to know. And Brad didn't have a testimony that was as strong as he needed to have. And if God was going to let Brad work with thousands of teenagers all over this planet, then he had to know so that he could help those teenagers keep digging. You asked if I've learned from experience. That was a turning point experience for me. Not because I saw an angel, but because I didn't.
Awesome. And my favorite thing about all of this is listening to your words. I'm speaking for myself, but hopefully I'm speaking for everybody else also. They can hear that they're not only your words. They can feel the love of their Father in heaven. They can feel the love of Jesus Christ through your words, through the Holy Ghost.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what I would hope. That's what keeps me going, is just hoping that something that I teach, something that I share, will help people not give up just because they slip up. I want them to just keep hanging in there and trust that the angels are among us, that the Holy Ghost is with us, and that even when they go unseen, they're there. And God is there. He does know us individually, and he does love us, not because we're good, but because he's good. He doesn't love me because I'm always lovable. He loves me because I'm his.
Amen. And we could end right there, but we always ask one final question, and there was so much, okay. So much truth.
Yeah. I guess I'm good for one more question.
it's a simple one, and you pretty you're much already
say,
answered it.
You're going to say, here's the question. Did your mission president toss you out of the mission? No, he didn't.
Nope. No, we always end our episodes with our guests sharing one thing that they know to be true. You've shared a lot, so we can end it with that, but I'd love for everybody to hear Brad Wilcox share one thing that he knows to be true.
I know that God is real, and I know that Jesus Christ is real, and I know that the Holy Ghost is real. Now, other people in the world might want to talk about a higher power, and they might want to talk about the universe. Or they might want to talk about a Big Bang. But a Big Bang can't love you the way a big brother named Jesus Christ can love you. And the universe can't comfort you and guide you and change you the way the Holy Ghost can change you. And some nebulous higher power cannot help you the way a Heavenly Father can help you. So I know that God is our Heavenly Father. I know that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and I know that the Holy Ghost, the third member of the Godhead, is our Comforter and our Sanctifier and our Testifier, our Guide. And that's what keeps me going, is because I can access their help. I can access their grace. I can access their power. And that keeps me going. So, yes, I know these things. I know them from my experience. I know them from my study. But I also know through the Holy Ghost. People say you can't know unless you can see, unless you can touch, unless you can hear. But I've never seen the electromagnetic waves in a microwave oven, but I use it every day, and it cooks my food. I see the result. I don't see how my car engine works, but I drive my car, and that tells me that there's gas in the car. I don't see the gas in the car, but I know the car's moving. I don't see the air pressure above and below airplane wings, but I fly all the time. And I can't see the wind, but I see the effects, and I can't see love, but I see what it does when it's felt by even the hardest heart. We're not wrong to use the word "I know." We're not wrong to use that word. We don't have to spend our entire existence saying, "I believe," because we can know in ways that go beyond our senses. And that knowledge can make a difference in our choices, in public and in private. I know that God is there. I know that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And I know that the Holy Ghost is their messenger of grace. And I say this in the name of the Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. It was awesome. Even if only for us, we're so thankful.
Thank you. I have loved being with you. I'm so proud of you guys. You are being lights on the hill. You are reaching out and helping other people build their faith. And I just love you for it.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Thank you. Keep up the great work, my friends.
We'll let everybody get out of here. Go look for God in your life. Go look for His angels.
Thanks for joining us on Angels Among Us. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow along for more stories of everyday miracles and reminders that angels are among us. If you have a story to share, please email or DM us with a brief summary. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, when we are waiting, God is working.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.